Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
I want you to know I'm a little bit excited today. I'm not just excited because Nebraska beat Michigan State yesterday. Controversial call. I get it. It was an ugly win. I'm not just excited because I get to wear my new Chucks today. I got some new Chucks. I'm always excited when I get new Chucks. But that's not exactly what it's about. I'm excited today because we get to celebrate one of the most profound ministries that I have ever observed. We get to celebrate. Now, this is a congregation that has a heart for reaching out for those who are underserved, underprivileged, those who are marginalized. And we live those out in a couple of different ways, right? One way is our outreach to the LGBTQ community and inclusivity ministries. And that's an important part of our ministries. And the other thing we do is the important and great work that we do in support of our homeless ministries. Our Wednesday night ministries, that actually some of that takes place on Tuesday nights as well. We'll get into that. But also our participation in storefront ministries and some things that we do with CCSA and Metro. This is a congregation that has a great heart and a great passion for serving others. We have, I see that you're seeing some of the images that we have on the screen. We have just some images that will just sort of cycle through. You'll see it repeat after a little while. Some of the good work that takes place here here on this side, but also you know, some of the great work that's supported out in our communities. And one of the ways that I think is important for us to hear about that is to hear from some folks who participate even more fully with some of those Wednesday night ministries. And so we're going to have an opportunity to hear from some folks who join, especially in some of these ministries. Now, it would not be right to talk about our Wednesday night ministries without acknowledging some of the ways that these ministries started. And in part, some of the great support that we've received from the organization, The Welcome Door, which was started by Mary May, if I remember that correctly, who had an office here in the building and came up out of homelessness into an opportunity to serve those who are homeless. Now, The Welcome Door has had a number of benefactors, board members, and folks who have been members of this congregation and this community, and it's important that we start there. Even as we recognize that Welcome Door, over the course of the last year and a half, has taken a step back and is just focusing in some other areas. I think it's important that we take a minute right now just to say thanks to all who have supported, participated, especially in the Welcome Door. So thank you to all those. One of the things that I think is a testament to all those who participate in our Wednesday night ministries is, you know, the tragic death of Tracy Starr a little over a year ago, and the way that organizers and leaders in Welcome Door have chosen to take a step back. The important ministries that are done on Wednesday nights, it's like there's been barely a hiccup. And that's a great testament to how smooth things have a tendency to run on our Wednesday and Tuesday night ministries. And that's a really good thing. And I think it's something that we ought to celebrate. Another thing that I think is important to do is we recognize the partnership that has been had with Welcome Door. We'll talk, by the way, in a few minutes about the partnership that's coming up and the role that will be filled, those who will be filling the role that Welcome Door has left. But it's also important that we talk about our partnership, especially with UCSD. The UCSD Medical School has been a part of this from the beginning in offering medical care for the economically disadvantaged. But also, as I understand it, there's been sort of a shift in clientele for those who are seeking medical care, where It used to be primarily those who were homeless and economically underprivileged, and now with the advent of the Affordable Care Act, more of those folks have been able to get medical care, and so there's a shift to serving many of our undocumented neighbors. And whatever we have to say about immigration, I think it's important to note that healthcare is a human right, and for this place to be able to support folks in getting medical care simply because they are in need is an important ministry that we undertake in this church. And so I'd like, Natalie, I know that you're here, and I'd like to invite you to come up and share a few words with us about some of the things that you all do. Sonny said a few words last service, so I'd invite you to come up and share a little bit. And, you know, some of our Wednesday night folks are here, some of our leaders are Wednesday night. So if you're prepared to say something, just make sure you flag me down. But we're going to hear from Natalie first.
Hi, my name is Natalie Rodriguez, and I am one of the physicians that works at the clinic. And for the last 6-7 years or so, I've been the site director here, overseeing everything that happens on Wednesday night. And it is such a privilege to get to do that. I was a medical student here at UCSD, and being a part of the free clinic was so important to my medical education and my desire to serve as a physician. And because of my time here and at our other sites of the free clinic, I chose to dedicate my life to taking care of the underserved. And so when people ask me where do I work, I often say that my office is a basement Sunday school room in Pacific Beach, because that's true. I don't have an office. This is what I do and where I work, and it's an honor to get to do that alongside incredible partners. We couldn't do what we do without the support of your church, and it's amazing to get to see everything that can be accomplished when we all work together. We have amazing students, and we have some students here. We, as you can see in the pictures, we have amazing dental partners and acupuncture, and so many things that we can offer our underserved patients. Sometimes it feels like such just a richness that we get to share that with people who wouldn't normally get to experience things like acupuncture, dental, which, if you don't know, is the biggest unmet need in our country for healthcare. So it is a joy and an honor to get to do that here every week. And we are so thankful for your support and the ways that you partner with us to take care of the poor and underserved in our city. So, I don't know, do you guys want to say something? Susie is our dental director.
As Susie comes up, I want to say a word about acupuncture. Don was here last service, who started out as an acupuncture student, learning about acupuncture here in this place, and now runs the on-site acupuncture clinic. And one of the reasons that acupuncture is so important here in this place is, you know, sometimes availability for meds is difficult. Sometimes accessibility, expense, and all those things are difficult. And it's important to have an alternative way to offer ways of relief. Don told a story last service about someone who, due to diabetes, had difficulty with eyesight. And through the partnership with UCSD and the on-site acupuncture clinic, this woman is able to read again. What a wonderful story. So continued good stuff is happening here. Let's hear from more of you.
Thanks, Natalie. Hello. Good morning. My name is Susie Yamaguchi, and I'm a general dentist. And my story is similar to Natalie's. As a pre-dental student, I volunteered at the free dental clinics. And I was here at PB one time. This was back in 2001. And I saw, the dentist that I was working with, she delivered dentures to a patient who was living on the streets. And you know what that means? You know, if you don't have teeth, you know, you're pretty much kind of, your self-esteem is low. You know, you can't get a job. You don't have friends. Mm-hmm. But what does that mean when you give teeth to somebody? Mm-hmm. You know, you change their life. Mm-hmm. So I saw that, and the patient was so happy. Mm-hmm. And ever since then, I've been like, you know, I want to come back and do this. So fast forward a few years, went to dental school, and then I was the first one to make the entire loop. So I'm the clinical assistant clinical director of the Free Dental Clinic, and as Natalie said, this is like my job. This is, you know, the other clinic I work at, that's my third home because I'm there all the time. So here at dental, we're here Tuesday night and Wednesday night. Tuesday night, we provide comprehensive care. So we provide, you know, dentures, partials, do everything, crown and bridge, root canals, get people out of pain. Wednesday evening, we have our urgent care clinic where a lot of the people line up. They come with, you know, infections and swelling and a lot of pain, and we take them out of pain. I work with wonderful pre-dental students. Some of them are here, Kevin, Arushi, and Ivan. And our wonderful volunteering dentists, like Dr. Smith here, who's here every Tuesday night. So I really want to thank the church for this amazing partnership, and I hope we continue on for many more years.
Yes. Yes. Thank you.
Do you guys know any statistics of how many patients they've treated or anything? Well, just as a little aside, I attended their banquet last year for honoring the volunteer dental students, and I don't have any of the numbers statistics, but Patty and I were just blown away by what they do, the number of hours that they donate. I mean, it's into the many hundreds and hundreds of hours that for their career. It's going to be a good, interesting see what these young people can do in the profession, you know, coming up the next 50 years. So we're looking forward as much as it I can see. But thank you.
Thank you. No, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Yes?
I just want you to know that the clinic is well-known throughout the community because I run a free clinic with my students in City Heights. It's just an assessment clinic, but I've referred a lot of people to the dental clinic because, as she said, it's so important to get good dental care. And also some of the more complex patients that we can't care for in our health promotion center I send here on Wednesday night. So. Mm-hmm. They're known.
Excellent.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. There was a gathering of community members here in Pacific Beach, started by a connection to some of the churches, but a gathering of folks to talk about some of the services available here in PB, and it included a number of homeless and underprivileged folks who attended this meeting as well. This particular church, this particular place, like, correct me if I'm wrong, Beth, because you were there and I wasn't. I was on vacation. But as I understand it, the way the homeless community sees the things that happen here at this church, like what they were saying to the other folks who were at that meeting is do it like PB does. Do it like PB Methodist does. We have a positive reputation in our homeless community about the services and welcoming atmosphere that are here, and that's a good thing. I do want to take a minute now and turn attention over to probably the most beautiful woman I know, Beth Rhodes. I shouldn't say my wife. I'm her husband is the way that goes. I mentioned that as the welcome door has stepped aside, that we have a new organization that's taking in and filling in that role. It's called Shoreline Community Services, and here is their executive director.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. So we have started Shoreline Community Services, and I'm happy to say that we are fully approved, and we have our 501c3, and we're ready to roll. With the support of Scott Caprio and Rick Cook, Alan Sherman, who's working from afar, and my friend Melinda Krieger, there are also several others who have expressed interest in serving in this way. And I've had lots of support from different committees and members of the church, and I'm just really grateful I came up with this idea and that people were behind it and ready to see this happen. it has been such a strong, like Bob mentioned, such a strong and significant program to live through some of the things, some of the changes that have happened. And like you said, with hardly a hiccup, that everything has just kept running. So we're hoping to build on that strength and keep that going, to sort of centralize the administration so people know where to go to get answers, to improve communication through all the different groups that participate in those evenings, and to seek out some of the funding that otherwise wouldn't be available to the church. So those are our main priorities. Hopefully in the future we can develop some new programs that might be useful to the homeless and underserved in the area. But I really appreciate your support, and see me if there's a way that you'd like to get involved.
Thank you. I'd like to take a minute to say a few thank yous. Thank you to all of you, especially as Welcome Door has had to step back, and before Shoreline has been able to receive some donations from those organizations who either can't or won't give to religious sites. This congregation has taken up quite a bit of the financial obligations that have to do with supporting this Wednesday night ministry. And you do that not only with your financial gifts, but with your prayers and your presence, your gifts and your service. So thank you to all of you who join in our Wednesday night ministries. I think it's also important that we say a thank you to Panera Bread, who gives a gift of bread each week. Also to Trader Joe's, they just moved right over here, who donate food on a regular basis. You know, I'd invite you, if you're looking for a place to get, you know, some groceries or some food, to consider supporting an organization that does so much to support this community here. I'd also like to take a minute and ask all of those who are staff members who support our Wednesday night ministry. Chef Ben is here. You know, if you don't know that this ministry started with pizzas that were donated, Chef Ben now prepares a full and healthy meal each and every week for these folks. So thank you, Ben. If you are one of the medical or dental students, I'd invite you to stand so we can thank you. If you're someone who has come on a Wednesday night to volunteer, I'd invite you to stand so that we can thank you. Ben, I invite you to stand as well with everybody else. Let's stand up and be thanked. I think it's also important to recognize there are a number of organizations that come in and give of their time and gifts as well. The Zhu Qi Foundation, a local Buddhist foundation who comes in and supports this ministry. St. Bridget's Catholic Church comes in one week a month. HD Supply comes in. Intuit comes in. Each of these organizations comes in once a month, focusing on the food portion of the evening, and it's an incredible support. So we're going to work out a way to show a thank you to those organizations. I had someone talk to me just this past Wednesday night. It's the first time he'd ever been here, and he was here primarily for the meal, although he'd heard about the dental clinic as well. And he said he was looking around, and he recognized this place as a church. And he said, this is what a church ought to be doing. This is a response. The way he described it and the way I experience it, this is a response to a divine call. However we identify the divine, and we, most of us here in a Christian church, might identify the divine in a particular way, but those who are here on a Wednesday night have a myriad of ways that we might identify the divine. And however it is that we identify the divine, some kind of higher power, some sort of moral calling, however we identify that, this is the way that we have an opportunity to reach out and serve and transform our communities. And what a blessing, what a privilege it is to be a part of it. Thank you for all that you do, because what we do is so much more than provide a building, and it's critical. And I believe that we change lives and we transform this community by doing it. Now, I've also talked to many of you who say, isn't there more that we can do? Isn't there more that, there's one particular person who keeps saying to me, isn't there more that I can do? And I'm a preacher, and so I'm going to read the scripture. Oh, well, we're in church, so we might as well. This is from the Gospel of Mark. I generally read from the Common English Bible, beginning with verse 38. And it's what I hope is a familiar story to many of you. It's known as the widow's mite, and it goes in this way. As he was teaching, he said, this is Jesus we're talking about, as he was teaching, he said, watch out for the legal experts. Now, I like this translation because other translations say, watch out for the religious leaders. What was that? You do that already. I'm glad you do, because you got some guy up here in green and purple chucks. You got to watch out for that guy. And I think it's a good thing. You know, we have a tendency to put an awful lot of faith in our faith leaders. No pun intended. We have a tendency to put an awful lot of confidence sometimes in our faith leaders. We need accountability. And I think it's important to say this. Like, most of us here are from a Christian tradition, right? That doesn't mean that we get to look at faith leaders from other traditions and say, oh, we got to keep a closer eye on them. No. Every faith leader in this community, whether we are Christian or Buddhist or Muslim or Hindu or a non-faith gathering tradition, a humanist tradition, right? We all need accountability. We need it just like every one of us do. So when it says pay attention to your legal experts, right, when we get into it, it's really a religious leader, and we all need accountability. It's important that we participate in that. So, Rowan, thanks for keeping an eye on me. It continues after we need to watch out for the legal experts. They like to walk around in long robes. They want to be greeted with honor in the marketplaces. Right? It's talking about those people who dress a particular way, who follow some of the important religious laws, but follow them in such a way, not that, you know, I follow it because I want to honor God. I follow these rules because I want people to notice. And these are the leaders we need to pay attention and hold accountable. They long for places of honor in the synagogues and at banquets. They are the ones who cheat widows out of their homes, and to show off, they say long prayers. I'm guilty of that one. They will be judged most harshly. Now, Jesus sat across from the collection box for the temple treasury and observed how the crowd gave their money. Now, let's talk a little bit about what that collection box is, right? I've been to a lot of churches where maybe there's a wooden box at the back of the sanctuary. We use metal plates with a little bit of padding in the bottom as we pass offering plates during worship. There's some places that use a basket or something. The way it was in the temple, as my reading has identified, is there were these sort of big, almost trumpets, like attached to the wall. But the importance to that is when you would put money in it, and a lot of the money was coin-based, it was metallic in nature, when you put money in it, it would make a loud noise. So that those people who were putting the most money in, they got to have all that recognition. Look at how much money I'm putting in. And so here's this situation. We're already aware of those who do things not because it's a good thing to do, not because it honors our God, but because I want people to notice me. And here Jesus is making an observation about how people give their money. Many rich people were throwing in lots of money. I can imagine how noisy it was. One poor widow came forward and put in two small copper coins worth a penny. Now, here's where I don't like this translation much, because in my study, these two coins were worth more than a penny, right? Now, you imagine if you don't have anything in your pocket than a penny, what good is a penny going to do you? It might be easy to give that away. But in my study, these two coins were more like a few bucks. Well, that's a meal. Imagine the significance. Not of putting a penny in, because you can't really do anything with it anyway, but putting in a few bucks, a meal, especially if you're someone who might only have one meal a day. Maybe. Imagine this significance. So she puts in a penny, and Jesus called his disciples and said to him, I assure you that this poor widow has put in more than everyone who's been putting money in the treasury. All of them are giving of their spare change. But she, from her hopeless poverty, has given everything she had, even what she needed to live on. Friends, she gave all that she had. And I believe that she gave it in the hopes that a little goes a long way. All of us who are here, if we choose to do something good in the world, if we choose to participate in making somebody's life better by buying a meal, by giving of your time and your energy, by praying for someone. If we choose to do for others, regardless of ourselves, we can make this community and this world a far better place. Indeed, my friends, what would it look like if we all choose, as we discussed with the children, if we all choose to help one another? How might this group of people be transformed? How might this community be transformed? Friends, how might the world be transformed? What a privilege it is to be able to gather together as we each bring a little bit. Because, friends, when we put all those little bits together, we see that we can do a lot. When we each give of what we can through our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, and we put them all together, we find that in our connection, we do profound and prophetic work. And it's a privilege to join you in that work. Let's pray. Holy and loving Creator, indeed, we are here as your children, as your creation, experiencing a call to serve one another and to serve your children. So continue to open our eyes and ears to your divine call. Continue to give us strength and encouragement and the gifts that we might share with one another, so that we might make this world your kingdom here. We pray in the name of the one who redeems us all. We lift up all these things to you, O God, and any that have been left unsaid. As we join together in the Christian tradition of the Lord's prayers, we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.